We're back with more of The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
And Darren Dreger, normally not on Mondays, but we didn't have him on Friday, so he's going to bookend our week. He's going to start us off here on Monday, and I think he's doing double duty. You're going to finish us off too, Dregs, right, on Friday?
That's the plan, yeah. It's a big week for me. I'm really looking forward to it.
We're really looking forward to it, too. I know Riv was pumped when he found out you were coming on today because the first thing he wanted to ask was about, you know, any inside scoop on the Jeff Skinner conversation. And I apologize. I want to apologize on behalf of the Instigators for always feeling like we have to lead with this question. But it's probably the biggest news right now in Buffalo is, you know, when's Skinner going to sign?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge story. There's no question about that. I mean, all along, we've maintained, because the Buffalo Sabres and Jeff Skinner have maintained, that they want to get something done. They're working towards getting something done. Now, is it just the term? You know, is the annual average salary problematic from Jason Botterill's perspective? Well, there's something that is, you know, dragging this process along. But that shouldn't be misconstrued or misinterpreted that it's a negative. I still believe that these two sides do want to get something done. It's just as you creep closer to the end of the regular season, then you creep closer to July 1st, and then it becomes a bigger issue because Jeff Skinner would have to make a decision. But I still believe that both sides are fairly confident they are going to get something done here.
I'll tell you what you know, I don't know, like, take the information for what it's worth. I don't have an insider or anything. I spoke to someone the other day, and the comment they made about Skinner was he loves it here. I mean,
he
loves playing here. He's smiling around the rink, even like, you know, he's in a good, not in a good mood, the team's losing, yeah. But I mean, he's a cheery guy. It's his personality. He's got a great personality. He loves his teammates. He loves, I think, playing with Jack. I think that's obvious. His success would speak to that. But he loves it here, and he plays that way. I mean, I know he's not the physical guy, but he is always moving. He's always going. He's a buzzsaw, and he plays like he loves being here. That's why I'm confident that this deal gets done.
Yeah, and look, I mean, you know, every time Jeff Skinner talks about the Buffalo Sabres, you know, he looks forward to the future, both his future and the future of the team. And he speaks glowingly of the young players that are, you know, coming into the organization or are playing right now. That doesn't sound like a guy who's unsettled or getting restless because his contract hasn't been, fully looked after just yet. Again, you know, certain players, some guys are okay with a negotiation dragging on. That doesn't make it a negative thing. And I also believe that Jeff Skinner is keenly aware of the success that he's had in Buffalo and how good a fit he is with Jack Eichel. Why would you mess with that? So you allow your agent, in this case, Newport Sports, to do their work, and that's what they're doing, representing Jeff Skinner. But I still believe that, like you guys, they're going to get something done.
It's amazing, too. Hey, Riv's about to say something. I just want to throw this to Riv. It's amazing, though. Hey, Riv, when we're so desperate for some information because Dregs, both sides have been so quiet, that we'll look for any tell by any comment. Yeah. And I believe, like, you know, when things are said, like, you know, he'll be good for us going forward. And, you know, when talking about Darlene and other young players, I believe in his mindset. I think he does feel like he's a Sabre for a long time.
Oh, I hope he is, because, you know, he's exactly what the ingredients that the Buffalo Sabres need. He's a feisty little guy that plays the game hard, that has had success scoring goals. He's going to play with Jack Eichel, who only is – he's not even close to the tip of what Jack Eichel is going to do moving forward in the game because he's still young. That being said, when we're talking about this contract situation, you know, this the fans, the people that are kind of like watching, we feel like it's dragging on. It could, probably not dragging on. They're in contacts. They're trying to get something done. Do you feel that they're in this negotiation where things are dragging on because of the second part of the season that Jeff Skinner's had? One goal in the last 15 games. You know, you look at his last 30 games, he hasn't really lit the lamp that much, but his first 30-some games, he was the hottest goal scorer in the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
Do you think that Jason Botterill is kind of like halting on things here?
No, I don't think so, Rev. I don't. I think that, you know, they've been going through this process with the same mindset of trying to get something done. And look, they talked before the start of the season and said, let's just get Jeff established here. You know, let's get him going and see whether or not it is a good fit. And then they got closer to Christmas and they basically said, all right, well, obviously he's a good fit. He's had a great first half of the regular season. You know, Jeff obviously made it clear to the Buffalo Sabres that he was interested in talking and negotiating a long-term extension. I think that Buffalo would love to get this deal done, but whatever the sticking point is, and I still believe it's term, you know, that's where the fight is at right now. And that's not unusual. It's not unusual. And I don't forecast Jeff Skinner, you know, pushing away at any point and saying, all right, this is, it's now bothering me and I don't want to have to deal with this until the end of the year. Or the flip side would be, I'm going unrestricted free agency because clearly we're not getting something done here. I don't get that sense. And I deal with Buffalo sources on a weekly basis. And when I checked in last week, that was the message that that I got. They understand that the fan base is getting antsy, but they do not. This is the Buffalo Sabres now. Don't want people thinking that they're less interested in getting a deal done with Skinner than they were perhaps a month or two ago.
Do you think term is something we're going to start to see being a sticking point for a lot of other teams and players? Because Riv brought up Matt Tkachuk earlier today, and he has him compared to a bunch of other players that have to sign contracts. You know, the term seems to be, you know, Austin Matthews' contract, I think, is the one that probably brings everybody out to thinking this way, because I thought we all would have assumed that it was an 8-year deal, lock it up, done, no big deal, it's over.
Right.
Well, the reality is...
Go ahead, Riff.
No, go ahead, Drex.
Well, look, I think it depends on the age of the player, obviously. You know, right. your guy coming out of entry-level contracts now, provided he's in a position where he can make that sort of demand, you know, Austin Matthews wanted a 5-year deal. I think he wants to see how things develop moving forward with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And most importantly, he hit a grand slam. He's going to hit that grand slam again in 5 years because he's that elite superstar type of talent. But if you're a player like Jeff Skinner who's been down this path before, I think that 6, 7, 8 year makes a big difference. I don't think that there's any question of that. And if I look at the pending unrestricted free agents with the Columbus Blue Jackets, and I'll just dial in on Matt Duchene for just a second, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. Is it conceivable that Matt Duchene could get traded at the draft so that he can pick up the extra year? I think it all depends on where you're at, both from a birth certificate standpoint, but also where you're at in your career overall.
Were you kind of thinking the same thing?
Yes, very much. I you know, when we're talking about, and this was one of the questions that I wanted to lead into. I mean, with some of the restricted free agents that are available, that are going to be signing, everybody's talking about offer sheets and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Which,
you know, it'd be awesome if it happened, but it probably won't. I'm just sitting there thinking, who is in the toughest situation to sign a contract? Is it Mitch Marner? Is it Braden Point, or is it Matthew Tkachuk in Calgary? And when you look at Mitch Marner, they have their ceiling players in a Tavares and a Matthews. Point is in a situation where there's no way that they're going to sign him for more than Nikita Kucherov. And then in Calgary, you have Johnny Gaudreau and a Sean Monahan that are making just over $6 million. I mean, who's in the toughest situation to sign a contract?
Well, I mean, all the teams that you mentioned, I don't think there's any question about that. And I'd throw Winnipeg into that mix with Patrick Laine or Kyle Connor. Oh. You know, all of the salary cap teams are going to have an issue. And that includes the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Yeah, to some degree, the Calgary Flames. And what's Matthew Tkachuk going to get? I mean, he's making more than Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation, the fact that the cap is going up. And the percentage that's applied to these players, you know, is adjusted because of the cap going up. So, you know, what's Matt Tkachuk going to get? You know, I think he's a minimum $8 million per year player. And I'm sure that they're building a case where he's $9+ million. So then you look at Mitch Marner, you look at Braden Point. Mika Rantanen with the Colorado Avalanche is interesting, but the Colorado Avalanche have a ton of cap space. So I don't think that it's going to be much of an issue beyond having to pay him more than Nate McKinnon's making, you know, with the Colorado Avalanche. So trying times for these teams. I'm telling you guys, whether or not there are offer sheets, I think it's going to be a fascinating offseason because I don't see any way that good players don't leave Toronto. And maybe that applies to Tampa Bay. Maybe it applies to Winnipeg and to Calgary as well. You can't sign these big-ticket guys for $9-10+ million and not lose somebody in the process when you're a cap team.
Are you starting to doubt the Leafs? You know, I mean,
a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. A lot of people up there questioning whether or not that first round series against the Bruins is going to be a big upset for the Leafs. I mean, basically, what they're down to right now is just battling for home ice, and that's going to be the first round of I think that everyone's going to want to watch.
What ingredients do you think they're missing there?
Well, if they don't get out of this funk right now, you know, they're going to be in big trouble in the first round against Boston. I think that goes without saying. What are they missing? I mean, when your backup goaltender, in this case Garrett Sparks, comes out and says you're lacking emotion, that's a pretty big indictment from a guy who probably shouldn't be saying that, in my opinion. I mean, you look for that from your leadership core. You look for that from Morgan Riley or John Tavares or, you know, Austin Matthews. Patrick Marleau has been around the game forever. But for the backup goalie to come out and say the team lacks emotion, I mean, that's fairly telling. And I think it's very accurate. The blue line in Toronto is taking a ton of heat in this market, you know, because they're not playing very well. They have injuries. Dermott's out, and Jake Gardner's been out for an extended period of time, and they don't have the reinforcements to come in and fill those shoes. But it's more of a team defense. I mean, their faceoff work hasn't been good of late, and Freddie Anderson isn't as good as he needs to be. So if those things don't change fundamentally, then Toronto's in big trouble moving forward.
I didn't know that Sparks made those comments, but you know what? That might be exactly what the team needs is a guy like that, unexpected, to kind of say something. A little brutal truth might hurt, but, you know, it also can maybe wake you up a little bit too, because maybe the Leafs have just kind of, I don't want to say hit cruise control, but just maybe think they're so dominant that they can win, you know, most nights without even trying.
Yeah, but, well, if that's the case, then they're going down in flames, because you look at, you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are on the cusp of clinching the President's Trophy. I mean, they've had a playoff spot locked down for 35 games, yet they compete every shift. I mean, that's how you win a Stanley Cup.
I had a wish list, Dregs. I did it last week or the week before, 5 or 6 things I really wanted to see transpire between now and the end of the season. And right. Leafs losing in round one was right up there at number one. And listen, this isn't a Leaf Buffalo thing, or this isn't a Leaf I hate the Leafs. It's, well, I mean, I don't know what it is, but I think it's just, you know, I'm tired of it being called the Mecca. You know what I mean? I think that's top of my wish list, and I don't know why, but I feel like everybody in the hockey world wants nothing more than to not see the Leafs win a Stanley Cup.
I mean, well, look, the bottom line, maybe they're not ready yet. You know, maybe from an experience perspective, they're not mentally strong enough to contend for a Stanley Cup yet. And maybe they will be next year. Maybe they will be the year after that. But a lot can change. A lot can happen in the playoffs, as we know.
Can the Pens get back there with Malkin on week to week?
That's a tough one, man. Yeah, the answer in short is, of course, they can, you know, given the experience that they have. But, you know, that's a troubling loss when you see he is out week to week. But, you know, it looks like Matt Murray's been playing better of late, and collectively as a team, they've been playing better of late. So they'll find a way. I mean, they've got the intestinal fortitude to do it, but not having Malkin, you know, as your number two is a difficult one, to be sure.
Name the coach that got fired that made this quote. "We're in no hurry right now," he said. "We'll see how things transpire in the offseason. I think we'll have to think about it, and we'll see." Any idea whose quote that was? That was Joel Quenneville on whether we should expect to see him return behind a bench next year.
Yeah, he's going to be on a bench next year. I don't think that there's any way. I think what's most intriguing is where. And what I know of Joel Quenneville, and I'd put Alain Vigneault, who's also out there to some degree waiting. I mean, these guys have lots of money, so it's about recharging and enjoying the time away. Those are proven coaches, certainly Joel Quenneville, and I don't think he's jumping into just any opportunity. Maybe an up-and-coming team like the Philadelphia Flyers might intrigue him enough to go to that low-end side of things, but I think that Joel Quenneville is looking for a closing opportunity, and I don't know where that is. I mean, Could it be Toronto? I don't know. I mean, let's see what happens if things really go south with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
You wonder about Edmonton. Yeah. You wonder about having Connor McDavid. No.
I don't think so, man.
That was a quick head shake, Dregs.
There's just too much work there that needs to get done. I mean, unless I'm reading Joel wrong, and I don't think I am, and the people that he talks to, his buddies, say, you know, his next job is going to be going to a team where they're real close, or they're legit Stanley Cup contender, and the Edmonton Oilers are light years away from that.
Darren Dreger, awesome as always. Look forward to chatting with you on Friday at 11:30 as well. Thanks for your time today.
Okay, guys, have a good day.